So, hello, I'm Julie. I'm an alcoholic. I feel a bit speechless already with that introduction. Thank you, Malia. I don't know how accurate or how deserving I am of that, but thank you. Like Malia said, last week on Thursday, exactly a week ago, I reached a recovery birthday, 18 years. Small correction there for Malia, 18 years, which is without a shadow of a doubt my greatest life achievement. So here I am. And today in Cork, in Ireland, where I'm from, where I live, it's such a gloriously sunny day. There's almost no cloud in the sky. It's blue sky everywhere. It's sunny, and I think we could all agree that in recovery we learn things and we learn to grow, sometimes in spite of ourselves, and that is true for me, and it's constant, and I guess, true. All the various things, kind of psychology, kind of texts or knowledge, or some spiritual or self-help or Buddhist texts and knowledge. They say there's only maybe two or three absolutes. Birth and death, and then the constant change. That change is the only constant. So I believe in that. I'm aware of that. That sort of carries with me. This is a Tasnua meeting, which started last year as a product, I guess you could say, of the pandemic, the lockdown. I know I'm just one of the hundreds of people who come to this group who cherish it, who found, for me, it's been like a revolution in my recovery. The quality of honesty in the meetings, the quality, that's the scope as well of what people share about is bigger and wider and taller than I'd ever experienced at any other groups of AA or other fellowships in my life before. So it's quite phenomenal. I'm very, very, very grateful for it. It's expanded my whole horizon of my recovery, of my life. It has, it's not an exaggeration, and that's been the case. And it's an ongoing sort of fountain of learning and possibility. So in that learning, and today being a sunny day, I actually sort of, I'm an addict, I'm an alcoholic, I live in my head a lot of the time. But true recovery and knowing that, my problem is based in my head, I make a lot of effort. I need a lot of reminding to continue to make effort to come down, to come down into my throat, into my chest, into my heart, and down into my feet. Keeping my feet on the ground is like my absolute rule for myself. And I do manage that most of the time these days. So that's good. And again, that has taken a long, long time to practice, 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 fail over and over again, and continue practicing it. And again, the learning, the process of learning, is a very humbling process as well. I would like to focus more on recovery and in what I say, and I would like to focus more on, today and the day-to-day, recovery being a just for today survival and then bridge into living, is the only way I can manage my life. It's the only way I can manage living life, keeping it day by day. It really is. So I have also managed to do that again with lots of reminding. and lots of practice. So yeah, keeping my feet on the ground, keeping things in the day is my survival guide. And yeah, like anyone in recovery or not in recovery, good days, bad days, that's again, I think, normal for everyday life in this world we live in. In my past, I'm still me. I'm still the me who was born 40 odd years ago, and I'm still the me who was all the different ages and all the different experiences of growing up. I think that's true for us all. We carry all of ourselves with ourselves. Well, certain things can be repressed, as indeed they were through my active alcoholism and addiction. The coming to know myself then is it's very rich, but I get bowled over by myself, by my emotions, by life expectations, life responsibilities, both what I think is the case in my own head and then what also the reality and the reality of what I'm expected to do or what I'm responsible to do can be bigger or smaller than what I imagine in my mind. So yeah, the younger Julie, the Julie who was, you know, surviving until I did come into recovery was a good girl. And I joke, one of my other really closest and sweetest friends, who is a gift of Tasnua, you know, I joke with her about this good girl complex, and it's actually true, you know. Yes, I went off the rails in alcoholism and addiction, but always, I was always seen to be the good girl, the nice girl, the polite girl, the well-spoken girl, the, you know, beautifully dressed girl, all of this. And while I think all of those things are sort of appearance-based and external, they were also coming from values put into me, I suppose, you know, like family values. My mom, yeah, she liked dressing me up because she liked me to look like the pretty good girl. And I took on all that. I took on all that at a very deep level. So yeah, and then that morphed as addiction started to take hold of me. Before alcohol or drugs came in, like, my sense of self was a lot propped up on how I looked, how I appeared, how others perceived me. You know, the good girl, the dressing pretty, this sort of a thing. And then, of course, as teenage years went on, and the normality of being a teenager then, you know, worked by my own insecure sense of self, and alcohol and drugs poured on top of that, I was very unsure of myself as a woman. You know, huge issues around my body, never good enough, never tall enough, never slim enough. So I had no words for that at any of that time. It was then the progression of addiction, just getting lost in all of that, and letting the course of everyday life and addiction just happen, you know, the powerlessness of that. I think that happens to us all. I think, yes, we have similarities. Yes, we have some differences. I think the greatest difference in that kind of aspect of the story is the difference between a man and a woman in alcoholism or addiction. Different things happen by the very nature of our genders. So all of that was kind of twisting around inside me, and not healthy at all. And yet, you know, keeping some keeping some mix, you know, people also refer to the functioning alcoholic, the non-functioning alcoholic. Again, I would have appeared to have been the functioning alcoholic. No one ever thought that I was an alcoholic or addict. Again, these things were sort of hidden because of the good girl exterior. It's good to laugh at these things. But certainly addiction was eating me up, desperate depression, attempts of suicide. And that again, the last time I tried that was a huge wake up call. I didn't change my lifestyle after getting out of hospital that time. I was 19. However, I knew that, okay, that's my last time doing that. So that was a turning point. That was 98. In 2000, having just come back from living abroad, my mother died tragically, suddenly. Devastation, absolute devastation in the family, absolute devastation for me. The circumstances of her death were and are still shady, shall we say. And about 10 months after that, I found myself in a crisis pregnancy that came to an end. So then having lost my mother, having lost my first pregnancy, all the early stuff of the body image started really attacking me again. I was very a new dark kind of grief, kind of darkness place. Wanted to be, I would still, again, go to college and do this and do that, get high, go out, go party. But I was very insecure about myself all over again. Wanted to be covered up all the time. So I guess it was a lot of shame, insecurity and shame stuff that, again, I had no words for. I feel sad now looking back on it. You know, I was so lost. I was a lost little girl up until my early 20s when I finally found recovery. So I finally found recovery. There were a couple of significant stepping stones. You know, having lost my first pregnancy, I sought counseling. I had started to look at my health in terms of the fix it. If I do this and learn that and apply this, I'll be better, I'll be healthier, I'll this and that. Again, the external. But slowly but surely that was helpful, the counseling and different health things I was pursuing. And then in 2003, I found myself in my first meeting, not because I wanted to stop using or drinking, but total people pleasing. However, a number of months later, then I got clean, October 2003. And some people say, by the grace of God, I've remained sober since then. So, and then I can honestly say life in recovery has been no less bumpy and dark in certain ways than the 23 years before that, but different because it wasn't covered up and, you know, masked over by the drink and drugs. It was all the raw stuff came out then. I mean, an early recovery coming to my mother's anniversary was just, you know, devastation. Cannot put words on it, just devastation. And I was that sort of person, you know. I was never, while I would get high and go to parties and go to nightclubs and dress up in glitzy things and all this sort of a thing, I was never that kind of happy cocktail kind of girl, really, you know. There was always a lot of sorrow about me. And that has transformed. I have come total full circle with some losses and griefs in my life, which is amazing. It's partly due to, yes, effort and time and all that that I've put in, it, you know, specifically in terms of recovery, service, effort, a lot of counseling, psychotherapy, all that stuff. Again, learning college courses, you know, the bridge to normal living that recovery offers us, living life essentially, being real with people, being real in relationships. So a lot of healing has come. A lot of healing has come. Some days I actually feel new and shiny and bright. on a sunny day, I feel like a sunflower. It might sound a bit hippie, but it's true. You know, it's true. It's such a turnaround. What else can I say? I won't talk for too much longer. I think I've wrote down a few points because I've learned that that's possible. You can write down a few points for yourself. You know, again, that journey from head to heart, I need a lot of reminding about that. And it can, you know, the fear is there. I can, you know, addiction is always with me, won't go away. So it's this needing, this constant reminding of what I get at meetings to apply, to keep afloat, you know. So when I come into my heart, it's that kind of liquid state of sorrow and love and joy and all of those things. I can get angry. Lots of people think because of this good girl syndrome I have, think I don't get angry, but I do. I get volatile. It doesn't happen very often. And that scares me. Resentment and anger scare me a lot. They're the things I really wish I could just banish, you know, but I can't. I have to deal with those things too. They're part of me too. But, you know, when I really feel in my heart, you know, whatever sorrow is there can be there in a, again, this kind of liquid state, and it can be melted rather than with a kind of an iron bolt around it, or rather than it, you know, leaking out in unhealthy ways. And of course, joy. I still remember clearly my first real moment of joy in early recovery. I had planted this plant in my dad's garden where I was living at the time, and it was a passion flower plant. My nickname used to be passion fruit, because I'm fairly passionate. So this passion flower plant was, I saw its first flower emerge anyway, and I started crying with tears in the garden, and it was my first kind of pure drug-free in recovery experience of joy and beauty. And yeah, I was in the garden. I think my dad was in the kitchen, and I don't know, but he was probably shaking his head, what's up with Julie now, you know. So all of that. I want to say as well, like, the quality of my recovery has gone up and down. It's not just because I have 18 years, and that's is a good chunk of time, I suppose. It's not just because of the length of time that I've got it sorted, or I meditate every day, or I'm floaty and non-judgmental. No, I'm not. And there's been very distinct periods of my recovery that have been notably better and more solid than others. There was a period 2012 to 2014 when, having left Dublin where I was studying, I came home brokenhearted, felt my life was decimated. It was to me at the time. Again, more sorrow, more grief. And again, me being the personality I am, like, when sorrow comes, it's complete darkness. And I kept my life fairly simple. Again, constant meetings and recovery. And I found a sponsor at that point, Tracy, who was still a very good friend, who was instrumental in helping me gain back myself, a sense of self again, and did a lot of step work with her. She was a very empowering person in my life. She still is. I just don't get to see her very often. An excellent role model, I have to say. So having come from a very broken down period in myself at the beginning kind of 2012, the 2 years from that then were so rich. And my work life was kind of simple. And I got into hobbies again. And I used to dance regularly. And I used to cycle all the time. And I was really fit physically. And I was single for most of that chunk of time. Again, simple. Simplicity helps. And then that period ended when I moved abroad to a very complex culture. Far away, I moved for love, and that's what guided me, and that has transformed as well into something with a lot of sorrow, but from sorrow, from whatever emotions I experience, I also need to anchor myself in trying to find self-acceptance, you know, or taking a tiny piece of it and saying, okay, well, I'll take that much at least. So that, I won't go into that, and time is running out. Some days, today is the day because the sun is out and I'm sunflower Julie today, but other days it's just eat three meals a day, brush my teeth and get to bed, honestly. And that's, you know, I have a little girl, she's the highlight of my life. She's my joint best achievement in life. So and I know I don't forget about the possibility of relapse. If I suppose the worst thing that could happen if I relapse would be to lose my daughter. So I, as a mother, as a woman, I have to, she's my responsibility. I have to, it's not just me, that addiction is in my ear about, you know, it's being the grown up, it's being the responsible one, it's being the role model for someone else, my four-year-old. So I, again, most days I can achieve that to a greater or lesser degree, never perfect, never ever perfect. But it's, again, it's the constant effort is what needs to be enough on most days. So yeah, I'll leave it there. And it's like, you know, again, with this whole darkness thing and recovery and healing thing and sunshiny thing, you know, that circle, fun has to be part of life. You know, I didn't know any fun at all until being in recovery a little bit, and this is fun, you know, and getting to know what I like and having fun, and it can be in the smallest things. And again, coming back to this special Tasnua group and family that we have, you know, the group chat, I really break out laughing out loud with some of the messages. It's just so funny. And I love that. I really, really love that. So I'll leave it there. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you.